Brent Hubbs is here with us from VolQuest.com. Time for the VolQuest Report on this Monday, presented by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage experts. Visit MTGRT.com today. Brent Hubbs joins us from Knoxville. Good to see you, Brent. Hope things are well.
Doing good. Hope you guys are doing well this morning.
Doing very well. I'd like to start with the Tennessee offense. Look, I think any rational fan would have expected that Alabama was going to win this game this past week. And I'd like to think big picture here as they enter the bye week. But look at it from the Alabama game perspective. Did the Vols tamp down and go for conservative play calls on third and long on purpose Saturday, knowing that they had no faith in their quarterback to actually push the ball down the field and not turn it over? What do you think there?
Well, it's certainly what it looks like. They were afraid to throw the football on third and seven. I think they ran it on third and seven something like five or six times. Now, they converted two of them. But then the other, the biggest one that jumps out is after the Alabama turnover in the third quarter, where Tennessee was, the game was over anyway, and Tennessee had, third and three, or it ended up being third and three, and they ran off tackle. Felt like a give up call there. They had another third and seven where it felt like a give up call. They clearly did not have confidence in Jared to take a lot of chances there, particularly early in the game. And so, I think their offensive game plan was conservative. I mean, you know, if you got some one-on-one coverage on the outside, they tried to throw it up top. And then otherwise they tried to run the football, and they had some moderate success running the football. I mean, that's the most offense they've had against Alabama, I think, since, I don't know, 7 or 8 years or something like that. But, obviously – That's not saying much in a 48-17 loss.
From the first 10 quarters of the season, Brent, to the last 10 quarters that we've watched, how quickly things have changed. And this is a good time to have a bye week and have a week off, because things are not good right now after the last 10 quarters of football. What must they figure out over the next 7 days before they begin the Arkansas week?
Well, I think, one, they've got to gain some confidence in themselves offensively and continue to approach an identity. What's the identity going to be when teams play zone against you in the secondary? Do you have the confidence in your passing game that you can throw the football against zone coverage and that your quarterback can see the field and your receivers can, read the zone holes and things like that? If somebody sets back and dares you and says, hey, you're going to have to drive it 10 plays down the field on us. We're not going to let anybody get behind. Because the best thing Tennessee has done is a chunk play, when you think about it. I mean, you go back to South Carolina, they put the game away with two big passing plays, okay? A deep cross and then a takeoff to Josh Palmer. You go to the Georgia game, it's two deep balls. That's all they did offensively. You look back on Saturday against Alabama, it's a couple of deep balls. That's the offense. So, what are they going to be offensively when somebody says, we're not going to let you do that? That's just, we're going to take that away with safeties over the top, much the way Kentucky did. Look, everybody talks about quarterbacks and everybody talks about the offense. And look, in this league, you got to score points. But they have as many defensive problems as they have offensive problems. Okay? They can't cover anybody in the secondary. The secondary is getting no help right now because they're not getting any quarterback pressures up front. 10 sacks in 5 games, 4 of them coming against South Carolina in the season opener. And really, they haven't had a pass rush since. They didn't get after Mac Jones at all on Saturday. So what do they do defensively to be able to win in the secondary and to win with some kind of pass rush so they can get off the field on third down?
Well, and going back to offense, we heard a lot about Jalin Hyatt throughout the preseason. Been asking the question, where has he been at the start of the season? And we saw him on Saturday. We see the speed element with his game. We know that Garantano, the one throw he makes really well is the deep ball that we saw again on Saturday. Is that something we're going to see more of moving forward and maybe see even another element to Jalin Hyatt's game emerge?
Well, I do think you'll continue to see him emerge. And I think this off week is a good week for him that you can build on some things. He's obviously got confidence. and belief that he can play in this league because he's running by defensive backs and he's had success. And, you know, 5 catches in 5 games, he needs to be targeted more, and I think he will be moving forward. I still think, and I don't know what Barry Odom's going to do at Arkansas. They like to mix it up. They really tried to force Ole Miss to be patient in that game that they won. They dropped a lot of guys into coverage, and they tried to make the quarterback make a bunch of skill throws, spied him, didn't let him run around everywhere, and make him beat him with the arm. He threw 7 interceptions. So as exciting as Jalin Hyatt is in terms of running by people on a deep ball, and the same for Josh Palmer, I just think defensive coordinators are going to continue to look at Tennessee and look at that Kentucky defensive plan, particularly if they don't have a Georgia-type defense or an Alabama-type defense, where they say, you know what, I'm not sure we can cover them one-on-one on the perimeter. Let's see if Tennessee will be patient enough to drive the length of the field methodically, dinking and dunking their way down the field, or are they going to get greedy? They got greedy in the Kentucky game. They weren't patient enough. So I think that Jalin Hyatt's exciting. I think he'll play more. He'll be more involved. But I think Tennessee's got to figure out how are they going to beat teams that say, we're going to keep the ball in front of us and make you drive the length of the field patiently.
Brent Hubbs with us, FallQuest.com, the website, MTGRT.com, the website for your live and local mortgage experts. Brent, the 2 weeks now that we have before the next game, doesn't the whole excuse of, well, we don't have these freshmen ready to play just yet, go out the window with this open date and now having the opportunity to work some guys into the lineup?
I think so. I mean, I don't think there's any excuse for not having some packages. But I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. I think you could have got Malachi Wideman on the field earlier. Maybe he can only run 3 or 4 plays for you, but that's 3 or 4 plays. But, you know, I've seen coaches on this coaching staff get guys ready in limited packages like that. So I know it's doable. And I think that, yes, to answer your question, this is a week should be all about young players. It should be about figuring out, can Key Lawrence help us at corner right now? Can McDonald help us at safety right now? Can we find somebody in the secondary who has the ball skills to make a play on the ball? Mac Jones tried to throw it to Tennessee 3 times in the first half. Trayvon Flowers didn't play the deep ball. He played the receiver. He never played the ball. Kenneth George dropped to about his 4th interception at the end of the first half. He dropped 2 against Missouri. And then Bryce Thompson absolutely should have picked that ball off when Mac Jones threw it down the middle of the field to Minchie to the 2-yard line. So that should have been 3 first half Alabama turnovers that Tennessee doesn't have to make a real difficult play on, and they didn't make that play. So I think you absolutely have to look at your young players in some of those key positions, and can they help us? Can we use this week to get them ready? Can Morvin Joseph help us rush the quarterback off the edge? It's a big week for him. Bryson Eason, you got to really work those guys this week to see if you can find a pass rush, which is seemingly non-existent right now. So they've got to use this week very productively with the young players. Absolutely.
And so where do they go from here with quarterback? What do you think they do? What do you think they should do?
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to play Jerry Garantano. And I think that they made that pretty clear on Saturday with their decision to start him and to play him essentially the entire game. So it's clear they believe that he gives them the best chance to win and that he's going to be their guy. What's interesting is Brian Maurer goes from 4th team to 2nd team essentially this past week, or apparently this past week, because he's the guy who got on the field, and they didn't get Harrison Bailey any snaps. They clearly don't feel like Harrison Bailey's ready. I don't think they're going to be. Look, the defense they're going to play against Arkansas is going to be pretty exotic. Barry Odom will do some unusual things. So I think they're going to roll with Jerry Garantano, and I think he'll have a shorter leash. But it sounds like right now, if he struggles, that Brian Maurer is probably the way to go to have a guy running around back there. But, you know, that's the direction that they are going to go unless somebody suddenly emerges like crazy over this off date, which is very hard to see happen. I think if you're going to make a change, if you're not going to play Jared or if you're going to play 2, I do think Brian Maurer is the other guy you got to look at trying to get a package ready for. Maybe you simplify some things for him. but at least he can come in and run the zone read and do some RPO stuff and change the identity a little bit of your offense, change up a little bit what you do. I don't think JT Shroud's going to play because I don't think they believe that he can make a play there, and they clearly don't think Harrison Bailey's ready.
So, Brent, Jeremy Pruitt fires Jimmy Brumbaugh. He says, as he's coaching the defensive line, best few days of practice that they've had all year when he takes over that unit. And they go out and play poorly against Alabama. I know that's a great Alabama offensive line, but they were non-existent in that game for large portions of it. What are the chances that it's just a personnel issue on that defensive line for Tennessee right now, not necessarily a coaching one?
Then why were they better at the end of last year with the same personnel than they are at the beginning of this year?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question, but they weren't better this week with Jeremy Pruitt coaching them either. So I guess then the question is that just Bama being that good up front, and where do you see this line taking steps to be better?
Well, I think they've got to play harder. They've got to play with more intensity. They've got to play more physical. And they probably need to quit rotating every play or every other play. I mean, you know, they're running guys in and out, trying to be a little bit scheme specific or personnel specific, down and distance specific. Maybe you need to let some of those guys play a little bit. But again, I mean, I didn't think they were going to be the strength of the team, but that's a unit that was affected by COVID less than any other unit on the field or on the team this year. And that was a unit that maybe they didn't play great down the stretch last year, but they're a big reason why Tennessee was winning games down the stretch last year. And making some plays because they were pretty solid against the run. They freed the linebackers up to make plays. And obviously they were somewhat of a effective, and they're not playing very well this year. And it's affecting them at linebacker in some ways. So they've got to play more physical for sure. I think that's where it starts, and that's where it finishes with them. They got to play better pad leverage, and they've got to play physical. But it is the same guys they were playing with a year ago.
And going back to a year ago, one thing we've seen from Jeremy Pruitt coach teams, they can rally. That's certainly what happened the back half of the schedule a year ago. Tennessee gets the bye week right at the halfway point of this season. Brent, do you think they're getting this bye week at a good time? And how do you see this coaching staff handling this bye week and trying to rally this group for some games that still they'll have some winnable games left on the schedule, starting with going to Arkansas when they come back?
Well, I do think I think the bye week comes at a great time for this team. I really do. Look, as much as the Alabama game, you know, is 14 in a row and painful for every Tennessee fan out there, really the game that still hurts this morning more than the Alabama game is the Kentucky loss. Because if you beat Kentucky, you're 3-2, and that's everybody says that's where you're supposed to be anyway, right? But because you didn't win that, when it's a much different narrative and it's a much different feel. The thing that happened last year is they had some key guys get better the back half of the season. Nigel Warrior is a guy that everybody was ready to go to the bench about four games into last season, playing really poorly. And he figured out how to play and played really good football down the stretch. He erased mistakes in the middle of the field last year in that win streak to help Tennessee get there. Do they have somebody emerge like that in the secondary? Because they need help back there. They need safety help. Are they great at corner? Not as good as I thought they would be. Alante's been slowed by an injury. They are playing much worse at safety than I anticipated them playing a year ago. So they've got to find some kind of answer at the safety position. And then offensively, you know, I think they're better up front on the offensive line. I think they got to stay committed to the run game, and then they've got to figure out how they can manage, you know, Jared down the stretch of this season the way they managed him down the stretch of last season.
Brent, who are some of the players that are going to benefit the most from this week off? Who's banged up that really needs the week of rest?
I think Trey Smith needs the week of rest in a big way. He's got shoulder. He's got an elbow injury. He tweaked his knee in pregame warmups and then got shaken up again during the game on Saturday. So I think this is a shutdown week for Trey Smith, and you try to get him, you certainly try to get him well. I think Alante Taylor benefits from this week. I think he pushed through last week, but I think resting that hamstring for him this week is a very positive thing. Jared's got a little bit of Garantano's got a little bit of a hand deal, but it's not significant. I don't think they rest him because he needs to work, but he's not going to get beat up. So he probably needs the week off to kind of heal his body a little bit that way. And I'd say Eric Gray, too, because Eric's not the biggest guy in the world. He's taking a lot of touches, taking a lot of contact. I'm sure his body's feeling it a little bit there. Jameer Johnson, who played, will benefit with that ankle injury. He'll improve. And I think Wanya Morris and Jerome Carvin are two guys who very much need to open day. They should have better competition on the offensive line going into this week and next week, and more depth on the offensive line than they've had all year, because they should be healthier and they should be more prepared to play because they haven't been in contact tracing like they were in preseason.
We're in the midst of this three-game slide right now for Tennessee. How is recruiting gone? Because coming into the season with this highly rated recruiting class, the thought was, well, if things go south, that could be bad for this class. You guys at VolQuest are talking to recruits all the time. How is that class looking right now in the face of some adversity with this Tennessee team on the field?
Well, they seem to be holding fine right now. I mean, the guys who are committed seem to still be solid in Tennessee. They seem to be holding pretty good there. There's certainly some schools coming after them. You know, Auburn was a school Tennessee was going head-to-head with. It's not going great on the plains right now. If it weren't for some help from officiating, they would have two more losses and things would be really ugly for Gus Malzahn on the plains. They have benefited from two officiating mistakes in the first half of this season. So, you know, I think Tennessee's holding steady with the guys that they have. You certainly worry about Terrence Lewis down in South Florida, what's going to happen there. But that you were going to worry about that one if Tennessee were 4-1 right now, I think. So, but overall, I think it's holding up okay. Now, I don't think they're positioned themselves great to close with some of the big names that they've got on the board because of where they're at on the field right now.
Brent Hubbs with us from VolQuest.com with the VolQuest Report presented by MTGRT.com. Your live and local mortgage experts. Visit MTGRT.com today.
Hey, Brent, one quick recruiting question also for not this class, but the class after. How big was it to get Ty Simpson from Martin, Tennessee for a second straight week, even after watching Tennessee lose 34-7 to Kentucky, to come back again this week for a visit?
Well, I think it's huge, and I think it's important because if Tennessee is going to get Ty Simpson, I think they're going to get him on the hope that and his belief that he can come in and change the fortunes of Tennessee. But to get him, they're probably going to have to get him based on his relationships with people on campus, in particular future teammates. So I think having him back in town where he could spend time with those guys and continue to bond with those guys is significant. So I think having him here back-to-back weeks is really good. Now, he's going to see Clemson in the coming weeks, and you know that's one that Tennessee is going to have to beat at. I think that's the two schools ultimately for him. But to have Ty back-to-back weeks to hang out with potential future teammates I think is important because, again, you're not going to sell a championship. You're not going to sell the playoffs to Ty Simpson the way Clemson's going to sell it to him with where their program is right now.
Brent, thank you as always, man. We enjoy having you and Austin on for the VolQuest Report each Monday. And then, of course, we'll have the VolQuest Hour with you this coming Friday. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody.